Well, good morning. Welcome to everyone. So good to see all of your faces here this morning as we come to seek to worship the Lord, to praise His name, praise His Son Jesus here together. A couple of announcements as we begin. You look at your bulletin, there's even an insert with some of these announcements. First of all, just a reminder that August 21st, we will be having our church picnic at Natural Chimneys. So you want to be sure that if you're going to church on that Sunday, you want to go to Natural Chimneys and not here. We won't be here at this location, but the church will be at Natural Chimneys. We look forward to that time of fellowship and just praying for a good day there. And I hope that you can come. It's a carry-in meal, so bring something and bring something to share, and then it just is just a nice evening or just a morning there of worship together. Also, I want you to take note there that on the end of this month, the last Sunday, we will have our Blessing Forward service, which the district will come here and kind of be a signing of documents over to the church and just a blessing forward for the Moscow Church from the Church of the Brethren. So I hope that you're able to come and be a part of kind of really a historical moment here in our church as we look forward to those new endeavors that the Moscow Church will be led to through Christ. Also, want to take note that the church this past week, the board made a decision to help with some mission work in Kentucky, and wanted to note that in the bulletin. And of course, maybe I even shared during our prayer time to be in prayer for that group as they're doing mission work there in Kentucky from the flooding that took place in that area here about 2 weeks ago. Also, graduate recognition, that will be here next Sunday. So if you haven't talked to me yet about someone in your family, son, daughter, or grandchild that is moving up to, has graduated or is moving up in their school from either elementary to middle or middle to high, please let me know. I have already kind of reached out to a couple people, and so we will recognize three or four students here next Sunday. And of course, just be praying as well for that new school year. Believe it or not, that school year for Augusta County starts this week. I know Rockham has a little bit more time yet, but it's already here on us, and so we'll certainly be praying for that as well. Is there any other announcements that you'd like to share? Randy Johnson, do you have something?
Yeah. The leadership team voted to dispose of the old piano in the organ in the fellowship hall. The piano is the original piano that this church was started with. But due to space constraints and the fact that we're in installments, you want something, we need all that space, and the fact that we don't use it, we wanted to offer it this week to anyone in the congregation. The only catch is you have to move.
Yeah.
And also, this organ that is in the fellowship hall is being offered this week.
Yes. Can't get anyone to bite, can we? Yeah. Yeah. That catch of getting the piano out of the basement is a big catch, because that is an extremely heavy piano, and it will take a pretty big group of people to try to get that out of there. I'm not even sure how they got it in there, to tell you the truth. Maybe they built the church around it. but yeah, you're welcome to it, and we'd love to see it go to someone where it could be kept and restored maybe or used. But thank you, Randy, and just like he said, contact himself or me this week if you'd like either one of those items. And the price is right. Price is right. Free. So thank you, Randy. Any other announcements you'd like to share? Yeah.
The service at the picnic, is it still 10:30? Are we meeting at 10:30 at the Chimneys?
Yes, I think that's correct. I meant to put that in there. Yeah, in the past we have met at 10:30, just a little bit earlier. That way we had time to get the lunch ready And so you are correct, Megan. Thank you for, and I'll make sure to have that in there next Sunday to specify the time. Also, there's another mistake I made. The Blessing Forward service, August 28th. Also, the Holy Communion service will be August 28th. Those two things will happen on the same Sunday. So we'll have our communion service and our Blessing Forward service. And I think those two things will really fit together well on that Sunday. So it's just a mistake I made there when sharing it with Lee. You can make that correction. And of course, we are blessed to have Nolan and Mary Lou Klein here with us today as well. We welcome them and look forward to Nolan sharing with us today. So we're excited about that, him and Mary Lou. So anything else? Michelle? Shelter number three. Is that the one at the closest to the chimneys?
I'm not sure. I called to verify that it's still scheduled, and it said it wasn't shelter number three.
Okay. I think it's the one closest to the chimneys is what we've used in the past. I believe that.
I think Faye had scheduled it.
Yeah. I'm sure she did. So it's that shelter closest to the chimneys. If not, you'll see us at some other place. Or you'll be eating with the wrong group, one of the two. So thank you, Michelle, for confirming that. We look forward to that picnic. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, the opportunity to come and worship you, to fellowship together here, to praise your name, to give our offerings, Lord, and to give our heart to you again and again. Father, we just praise you and we praise your Son, Jesus. Bless us, I pray, this time of worship together. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me as we share together in our call to worship. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletins, inside of your bulletin from portions of 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is that homework I told you to read last week, the prayer of Hannah. So we'll share a portion of this here together in our call to worship. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. My mouth exalts the Lord. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Rejoice in the Lord of your salvation. Let's turn to our hymnals, page 229. Our God reigns, page 229.
Brings good news.
Such a beautiful hymn. I think it's the closest one we have to a praise hymn in our hymnal, so I really like that one. Okay, I want to take just a few minutes to gather up any of our prayer requests or praises that we would like to share at this time. A couple on my list I want to share with you hope that you continue to pray for. One in particular is Faye Hall. We've been praying for Faye the last couple of weeks. I wish and hope that you continue to pray Faye on your prayer list. Remember, Faye had cataract surgery a couple weeks ago, and she is still not got back her vision. She still has a blurry vision, and she has several different appointments that she's met with doctors and continuing to meet to try to figure out exactly what's going on. So you can only imagine what she's dealing with. And after talking with her, though, her spirits are high, and she just knows God is going to work through this, but would you just continue to pray for her? Also, the name Sherry Levins, maybe you got that on your prayer line or your email prayer request this past week, and that's the niece of Janet Good. She'd been diagnosed with cancer, and she is going to be seeking treatment for that. Did you say UVA or? Okay, Duke University Hospital there. She'll be going for appointment there. So if you would, just continue to pray and lift up in your prayers Sherry Levins. Also, as I had shared a little bit ago about the disaster there in eastern Kentucky, we want to continue to just pray for those people that are traveling to help and offer assistance with all the flooding. There was a group that left from Spring Hill Friday this past week, and we're going there. Berlin Zirk and several others were going to try to help those that were in need. I think they collected items. It was kind of a quick thing. They collected items, I know, 1 or 2 days last week, and then they set off there on Friday to go and help. And so the church was able to kind of give them something to help with the purchases of things, shovels or cleaning items. From what I was told, they're going to be just mucking out houses, basically just trying to clean the houses up, cutting out walls, cutting open the walls so that the drywall dries out. And it's a pretty major deal there. So if you would, just keep Berlin Zirk, that group, in your prayers for their work, their ongoing work, and so certainly pray for those affected by this natural disaster there in Kentucky. Also, other prayer requests that I heard even this morning in our Sunday school class was pray for the Dr. Airy family, just be in prayer for that family for the death of Dr. Airy. Maybe some of you are familiar with him, the vet. And also, Bruce was sharing this morning about a classmate of his that was in a just a horrific accident, Jerry Will, and he was hit, him and his wife, by a drunk driver, and it killed Jerry. His wife is in the hospital, I guess at UVA, and probably in critical condition. Boy was 17 years old and driving drunk. And so we certainly want to lift up the Jerry Will family, be in prayer for his wife as she tries to recover. Just pray for God's healing upon her. And especially, we need to pray for this young man too. I think there was two boys in this truck, as both 17, and so certainly we need to pray for them too, and just pray that God can work in the midst of this very tragic situation. So, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anyone else? Janet?
Oh, the joy to see a rosebud on the piano.
Yes.
That means
That's right. That's for Randy and Jessica. Absolutely. We're again to celebrate that new arrival into our congregation. We look forward to when they come and we can get to see them. So Joanne, maybe you shoulder them into bringing that new baby when they're ready. I know it's one of those. Well, we certainly will be praying for her and for Randy and this new baby. So.
Yeah, Randy said he especially needs prayer.
So, she doesn't. Hadley doesn't like the crying. Oh my, yeah. Well, we'll be praying things go well. Hadley adjusts. I know that's a lot for a family, but what a celebration that is, and we rejoice with them for that. Any other prayer requests or praises?
The Wallace Blackwell family.
Okay.
They have four children. Three of them are in UVA. Two of them in critical condition. And they're asking prayers because they're very serious condition.
Okay.
And it killed the father.
Okay.
And so they started a fund so to help raise money. They flew all three of the children to UVA. It's a very expensive thing.
Yeah.
Plus they've lost their dad.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. The Wallace Blackwell family for an accident. Thank you for sharing that. Certainly be in prayer for those children and for that family for their loss. Pauline.
We want to thank the Lord and thank everybody here for their prayers. It was very tough 4 weeks that we have been confined. But the Lord came through with some healing.
Yeah.
And we had some phone calls and we've gotten a few cards.
It went up again, didn't it? Yes. Yes.
We're not sitting back here because we're mad at anybody. We're sitting back here in case he needs to go out.
Yeah. I thought you might be mad at me. You're sitting far back as possible. No, I'm just picking. I know. I'm just picking.
Thank you again for your many prayers.
Absolutely, Pauline. Appreciate the praise report and thank the Lord that God is working and answering those prayers. That's why we lift them up. So praise the Lord for that. I think, too, just continue to pray for those in our congregation that have had COVID or are recovering from COVID. I think of Ashley this morning. She's still recovering from COVID. I know there's just several others that have had it. And with school starting, there'll probably be more of it, unfortunately. But we just continue to pray that that's something that will just be like a seasonal flu maybe and just come and go is our prayer. So, anyone else? Pam?
Yeah, I just want everybody to keep Jennifer in their prayers.
Yes, Jennifer Lambert.
Yes,
right. Thank you, Pam. Certainly be praying for those good results. Did someone else say my name? Kathy?
I just want to thank everybody praying for Dad for that second open heart surgery at UVA. His heart tissue and stuff was very thin, but they have fixed him and the results are coming back good. And trying to walk stronger.
Yep.
And now he's fighting kidney stones. So.
Okay.
It's always one thing, but thank everybody in the church. And
for the prayers.
You calling him, it was a scary thing going back in again, and your prayers on the phone was a blessing for him.
Well, tell Eddie that we look forward to him coming to visit us. When, yeah.
We'll get the guitar out.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. I look forward to seeing Eddie here and sharing that praise report with us. We're just praise the Lord for the good work that's been done there.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call our ushers come forward now and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all the answered prayers. Lord, even as we begin this prayer, we just seek to praise you. Lord, we praise your Son Jesus for his healing abilities, his healing hand, Lord. We know that you work through the doctors and nurses and hospitals. Lord, you work through the therapies. But Lord, we know that you are the one behind the scenes that are doing the healing, Lord, and that your miracles continue to be distributed out to the saints. Father, we just thank you so much that as we call upon you, Lord, that you are faithful to hear our cry and, Lord, to answer our prayers. Even as we've shared testimony here this morning of answered prayers, Lord, we continue to seek healing and seek answers for those situations, Lord, those needs within the body of Christ. Lord, we pray for families that have suffered tragic loss from accidents, Lord. We pray for those who are waiting on test results to come back. Lord, we pray for those that are seeking healing from cancer and different things. Lord, we just continue to lift all these names here mentioned this morning. I think even one in addition upon my heart this morning is Jean Armstrong. Lord, we lift her up too. And just so many others, Father, we just pray that you continue to have and do your healing work in their life. And Lord, that we might continue to sing your praise and just praise you for all the good things that you do. Father, for the offertory, we thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord, that you've established. We know that your hand is upon us. We continue to seek your guidance and direction. And Lord, we just pray that these offerings this morning is just a small token of our, Lord, our love and our appreciation for you. Lord, we just thank you so much. And even through these offerings, Lord, do we seek to worship and praise you here this morning. Bless us, I pray, through the remainder of this service. Just be with us, I pray. Just draw our hearts close to you, Lord. That's what you desire. And that's what we desire too, Lord. Help us to do that, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. It's my joy to be able to call now on Nolan and Mary Lou Klein to come and share with us. Janet mentioned this a few weeks ago, that she knew Nolan had just a beautiful voice, and she just knew that it would be a blessing to the church. And I said, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. So they are from the Mill Creek Church. But we welcome them here this morning. So glad that they are with us, and we look forward to hearing them share here with us. So I will turn it over to Nolan and Mary Lou now.
It's really a blessing. It kind of feels like coming back home, because this is where Mary Lou, she lived in Mount Solon. So, and she has classmates back here. She's the last graduating class of North River. So Mary Lou was happy to come up to 42. And it was such a beautiful ride, you know. It's green, everything's nice for this time of the year. Sometimes it's really dry and brown, you know, but this is really, really, really beautiful. But all the bad things that are going on in the world today, you know, the Ukraine and all that, we just got to give God the glory and remember who's in charge.
Amen.
And we'll sing this song for you, and hopefully that'll bless you. We'll do the best we can. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Went through the woods and forest glades I wandered, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and when I that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died. Sin, that on the cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Nolan. Thank you, Mary Lou, for being here and sharing that. That reminds me of Billy Graham Crusade with who is it? George Beverly Shea. Yeah, that's what. It's,
sorry, I got lost.
No, that's what. When I preach a point two times, I figure they need to hear it twice. So, that's exactly right.
No problem.
Amen. Thank you again. Appreciate that. What a powerful song. Okay, our children's group can be dismissed. Children's church, youth Sunday school. And your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel. Remember we were looking here last week at the story of Hannah, and of course she was blessed with the child Samuel. And we're going to be picking back up with that story, moving on from Hannah, but seeing how God is working here in the children of Israel and through Samuel. And this sermon is titled, The God of Victory, as we see God giving victory here to over the Philistines. We're picking up here at verse 1 in chapter 3. Now, remember last Sunday I said already, well, your homework was chapter 2. Hopefully you read through that. So you're right with me here as we move to Samuel's first prophecy. It says chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation." You know, Samuel is really considered, and I'm going to stop right there just to make a few comments, that Samuel is considered really the last judge of the people of Israel. You know, judges were this period of time that God called forth people to settle the disputes among the people, and he called forth these judges. And Samuel here, really, he kind of has a dual role. Not only is he a prophet of God, but he's also considered really the last of the judges. And that comes really out of the New Testament, as the New Testament calls him a judge. And so we see Samuel here kind of filling this dual role as he enters into his work here within the nation of Israel. And Israel, he also, as a prophet, calling Israel from sin. That's kind of what a prophet does. He comes on to speak the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord to Israel was always to turn, to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord, to turn from their sin. Now, this verse here, it's very interesting. This verse 1, I only really needed to read one verse here, and we'll kind of skip forward to chapter 4 next. But this idea that during this time, that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. I think that's just an interesting statement that is made there. And you think of this in terms of God speaking to Israel in their history and their past, that God had been so open with them. His very presence was in the midst of them in the temple. And so God had worked so hands-on with Israel. Think of Israel there, the people, the children of Israel there, captive in Egypt. And here God came down and brought these plagues upon the Egyptians. And he worked these miraculous wonders and works. And then he brought them out. And he parted the Red Sea. And they walked through on dry land. Then when they, after 40 years of wandering, they entered in. And again, he parted the river for them, the river of Jordan. And they walked through on dry land. He had given them victory over their enemies. And so God was very hands-on, wasn't he, with the children of Israel, with the nation of Israel. Over and over again, the presence of God was so obvious that it was there. The children of Israel knew it. They felt it. They could see the hand of God working in their nation. He was doing miraculous things. He was doing amazing things that they knew couldn't be done by none other than God. These miracles that were being worked. You think of some of the other judges. Think of Samson. That amazing strength that he had. Of course, this strength had to come from the Lord. Think of Gideon and Deborah. You think of Joshua and the amazing military feat that he was. They could see God working in their midst. It was so obvious. But then you enter into a period of time where God is relatively quiet. Maybe it's not so obvious that God is doing something, that God is at work. He's somewhat silent within their midst. Makes me think, have you ever felt that way in your life? Maybe you've entered into a period where you felt as if God is not near. Maybe you just feel as if, well, you know, God, maybe He's forgotten me. I don't necessarily feel the hand of God working in my life. I don't necessarily see it happening. Maybe that's how they felt at that point. They felt as if God was far from them. You know, what does feeling really have to do with faith, though? When it comes to feeling, you think of it in terms of salvation. Are we saved because we feel saved? Feeling really doesn't have anything to do with faith, does it? Faith and feeling are two separate things. I'm not saved because I feel saved. God forbid that, right? I'm saved because I know that if I have faith in Christ and believe in His Son Jesus, that His precious blood atones for my sin, amen? And your sin, amen? We're not saved because we feel a certain way, but we're saved because of faith. You know, we will go through periods in our life where we might not feel that God is near. We Christians have highs and lows too. We go through moments where we doubt. We go through moments where we fear. We go through moments of anxiety. We go through times where it feels like God is not near to us, that we're spiritually empty. But that's the moment we have to depend on our faith, right? Our faith tells us that while we might not feel a certain way, we know that God is near. We know that God is with us. We know that God has not left us nor forsaken us. We can't depend upon feeling. God calls us to live our life through faith, not feeling. So just because we feel a certain way, we don't necessarily have to allow that to distract us or discourage us. But we are to rely on our faith in God and His Word and His promises to us. That's exactly what God wanted for the children of Israel. I think sometimes God pulls away from us for a purpose. He knows He can strengthen our faith by just kind of pulling away. Maybe we don't see His presence like we once did. Maybe we don't feel His presence like we once did. But in that moment, God can grow us. He can grow our faith because He says, I want you to believe. I want you to continue to believe in My promises and in Me, even when you don't feel it. Well, that was the case for the children of Israel. He wanted them to believe, to have faith, not just in all the miracles that He was doing. Of course, they could obviously see that, but when those miracles were gone, to continue to have faith and believe that God is at work. God wanted them, the children of Israel, to believe that even when we feel defeated, that our faith reminds us that God is the God of victory. No matter what we suffer, no matter what setback or bad news or tragedy we may experience, that God is going to give us the victory. God is a God of victory. You know, in no sports team, when they go out on the field, know that they're going to win the game, do they? Maybe they have a good idea that their team's prepared and they're going to win. But whether they take the field or the court, no one knows for sure. It has to be decided. You know, for God, it's totally different, isn't it? Victory is already decided before the players ever take the field. God is a God of victory. God never loses. He never takes a day off. He never has a bad day. He is a God of victory. Here's some scripture verses that tell you that. Deuteronomy 24, for the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to give you victory. 1 John 5, 4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Notice there, not feelings, our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. Our Lord is a Lord of victory, isn't He? He's a God of victory. And we can't allow discouraging things in our life to sow doubt that God is not able, or to have us to believe that our God is too small, that our problems are too big, or that God cannot help us. Listen, God is a God of victory. And he's going to show the children of Israel that he is able to do amazing things, that he's able to win the battle against the enemies of Israel, and he doesn't even need Israel to lift a finger. Now that would be hard to believe, wouldn't it? I think even the children of Israel might have trouble believing that, that they wouldn't have to do anything, and yet they could overcome the enemies of Israel. Well, let's read here. I want to show you some discouraging things that happened to the children of Israel, and then how God worked through that. First of all, let's pick up here chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 here. It says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines, and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field." Now here's the first big disappointment for Israel. We see that they lose this battle against the Philistines. They badly lose here. They lose 4,000 men. Now this is unlike Israel to lose. I think it was a shock to all of Israel. What do you mean we lost? Now notice this loss comes at a time when God feels distant from him. And now here's this great loss that happens against the enemies of Israel. This great loss here, 4,000 men. And I think they reasoned among themselves, what has happened? Why have we lost this war against the Philistine when God had promised that I will go before you? I will give you the victory. And yet they reach a place here where they have been defeated by the Philistines. Why is it that they lost this battle? Well, there's a lot of different opinions. I guess the one that I would settle on was that Israel fought the battle without the Lord. God said, "I'll go before you and I'll win the battle." But the reason they lost is because they went before the Lord. They didn't seek the Lord. They didn't ask him to bless this battle. But they just decided that, hey, look at how many wars we have won. Look at how powerful we are. Look at how capable we are as an army. We can go forth. We don't need the Lord. We can win this battle all by ourselves. These old Philistines, they're nothing. We're going to be able to defeat them like it's very easy. And so they go forward into battle, and guess what? They lose. They lose. Now, I want you to notice the next thing they do, they think, well, hold on, we didn't seek the Lord, so let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. Look at verse 4. "So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And then the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, and all Israel shouted loudly that the earth shook." So notice here, God's an afterthought. Hold on, what happened? We lost the battle. What do we need to do? What have we forgotten? Oh yeah, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. You know, we know that's a special box. We know that God dwells there, and that box is ordained of God. We'll just put that at the front of the battle. We'll go back and we'll defeat these Philistines. Notice God's an afterthought. He's not going before them, but here they go and get this Ark. And they're going to use this to win their battle. And it says, "Now when the Philistines heard the noise and shout, they said, 'What does the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?' Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And so the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God has come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of the mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness.'" They knew who these Israelites were. "Be strong," they said to themselves, "conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews." And they had been to you, as they had have been to you, conduct yourselves like men and fight. And so the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. So now we're up to 34,000 dead in Israel. And the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Now, this moves us to the second big defeat. We see the first big defeat. They lose this battle, not only once, but twice. Here comes the second blow. Look at verse 12. Then the man Benjamin ran from the battle lines the same day. That's that they were defeated. And he came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. And when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does this sound of this tumult mean?" And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. And then the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle lines, and I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What happened, my son?" And so the man messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been captured." And then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broke. And he died, for the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now listen, here's just more devastation. Here's the prophet of God, Eli, who had judged the nation for a very long time. And here he fell off backwards and broke his neck. It says he was very heavy. He was fat. He was a fat man. And he literally fell off, and the weight of him, of course he was old too, it literally broke his neck. And think of the devastating news. Now listen, it gets worse. Think, look, it goes on. Now the daughter, 19, now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, which was with child, due to be delivered, when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead. Think of all that she lost. And she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. So this excitement of all this happening threw her into birth and the labor pains. And about the time of her death, notice there that she dies. The women who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. And then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband, they died." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." Boy, isn't this amazing, all that has happened. Look at these devastating blows. First of all, they lose the battle. Secondly, their prophet dies. He falls over and breaks his own neck. And then now we see, look at verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod." Now the ark of the covenant is gone. Three major blows to Israel, all at one given time. They lose the battle. 34,000 men are dead. Think of the mourning of that within the nation. And then not only that, but now their prophet has died. And then the grief of this is his own daughter-in-law has died now. She's named this child Ichabod. I think that Ichabod, really the name kind of details how Israel was feeling at that point. That God had truly left them. That the glory of God has departed from Israel. That they're just like any other nation at this point. That God has abandoned them. And of course, that's not true, is it? It's not true. No more is it true for Israel than it is true for us. At times we'll say to us, the glory of God has departed. It feels like everything in my life is going wrong. Strike after strike after strike. Thing after thing after thing. It feels like nothing is going right. And we'll start to tell ourselves in our head, the glory of God is gone from me. God must not care about me. That God apparently doesn't see what's going on or doesn't care how things are going on in my life. And friends, we just have to tell ourselves that it's not true. That just because we have suffered personal defeat does not mean that God has abandoned us, does not mean that God has been defeated. But God is certainly at work. Now I want you to see here what Israel, what God is going to show Israel. We have just a few minutes left and I'm going to read on. Because God is going to show the children of Israel, first of all, that He cannot be defeated. He cannot be defeated. God is a God of victory, and there is no enemy that is going to overcome God. That's true with us as well. There's nothing in our life that is too big for God. Amen? He can overcome anything. It doesn't matter if the word is cancer. It doesn't matter what it is. God can overcome it. He can overcome it. And Israel felt like the Philistines had gotten the best of them, but God was going to show them that He can give them the victory. In fact, He is the victory. I think that's the key here, that God is the victory. The victory is not the Israelites with their own might and their own power, but the victory is in God. And He's going to show them that without lifting a finger, He can defeat the enemies of Philistines without any of their help at all. He doesn't need their help whatsoever. Let's read on here. Now, verse 2, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it to the house of Dagon. This is their God. And Dagon was an idol that had the bottom portion of him look like a fish, and the top portion of him looked like a man. So it was kind of a combination of this idol would have been half man, half fish. And so they set him in the house of Dagon. That's this temple that was built for this idol that they worshipped, the Philistines. And when the people of Ashdod, verse 3, arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And so they took Dagon, this little idol, and they set him back up in his place. And then when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon again fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms, that is his hands, were broken off on the threshold, and only Dagon's torso was left of it. And therefore neither the priests of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Notice that was even at this very moment when this was being written. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod. And He ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both in Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, for His hand is harsh towards us and Dagon our God. And therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lands, or all the lords of the Philistines, and said, what shall we do with the ark of God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the ark of God of Israel away, and so it was, after they had carried it away, that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And He struck the men of that city, both small and great, with tumors that broke out on them. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And so it was that the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of a God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. And so they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go back to its own people so that it does not kill us or our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were stricken with tumors. This is a nasty sort of thing they're dealing with. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Chapter 6. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place." And so they said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Here they stole this thing, and now they're sending it back with an offering, trying to make peace and to please the God of Israel. Do not send it away empty by any means, but return it to them with this trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known that to you why his hand is not removed from you. And then they said, "What is the trespass offering which we shall make here and return with him?" And they answered, 5 golden tumors. So they literally made an idol out of these tumors, in the likeness of these tumors, and 5 golden rats. The plague, in the original manuscript, it doesn't necessarily say it back in chapter 5, but in the Greek Septuagint, it actually says that they were plagued with not only tumors, but rats. And many commentators believe that probably the rats possibly brought the tumors or the disease, like kind of the plague. So anyways, they make these 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For the same plague was on all of you and on all your lords. Verse 5, "Therefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, for your gods and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaohs hardened their hearts when he did mighty things among them? Did he not let the people go that they might depart? Now therefore make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows which have never been yoked and hitch the cow to the cart and take the calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in the chest by its side, and then send it on its way and let it go. And watch it. If it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us a great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance." And then the men did so, and they took the 2 milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and the images of the tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the Lord of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh, this is the Israelites, were reaping there, wheat harvest in the valleys. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. And so they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. And verse 14 there. You know, isn't that an amazing story? Really, it is an amazing story, isn't it? The children of Israel never had to lift a finger to beat the Philistines. God did it all by himself, didn't he? How many times do we think God needs our help? Or this church won't go unless I'm here. It won't prosper unless I'm a part of it. What a bold, crazy statement. God doesn't need us, does he? We need God. He's the one that has the power and the ability to win the battle. It isn't us. God beat the Philistines of Israel without ever lifting a finger. Not one man took the field with a sword, and God defeated him by his own power. That's just an amazing story. How often do we try to beat the enemies or the Philistines in our life by ourselves and our own power. We think, I can do this. Maybe it's some sin we're dealing with. Maybe it's some anguish we're dealing with. Maybe we've been trying for years to overcome this thing. And maybe it's because we haven't overcome it. It's because we've been trying to do it by ourselves. In our own might and our own power. God says, I will give you the victory, but you have to trust and believe in me. Those who trust in God shall receive the victory. The Bible says, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God, saith the Lord of hosts. It's through His power, His might, that He overcomes the enemies within our life. As a child of God, where do we currently feel defeated? Where do we currently feel defeated? And are we willing to trust that God is going to give us the victory? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this story here this morning. I know it was a lot of reading, but I pray it was just an encouragement to each one of us. Maybe there are some here today that have felt like they've had just a number of things of discouragement, disappointments in their life. Maybe these things are like a 1-2-3 knockout like Israel endured. But Father, I just pray that we are encouraged today that, Lord, that You are able, that You are a God of victory, that we trust in You, our faith is in You, and as much as that, Lord, You give us the victory. Father, we praise You here this morning, and we praise You for the victory in our life, which we have received already so much, and so much yet to continue to be victorious in. We praise You. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. And if you will, let's turn in our hymnals to page 473, Victory and Jesus. What a perfect hymn for what we're talking about. Page 473. Let's stand together and sing. Sing the first and last. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much that we serve a God of victory. Lord, I just pray if anyone here today has come in the doors of this church and feels defeated in their spiritual life, maybe feels defeated by the things that are going on, Lord, I pray that we hear this word of your word here today. And Lord, that we go forth and know that the God that we serve is a God of victory. And as we put our faith in you, Lord, that you give us the victories that we need to overcome in our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can trust in you and that you can win the battles that we war in our life. We praise you now. Bless us as we depart from this place till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.